World Food Safety Day was celebrated yesterday, the 7th of June, to draw attention and inspire action to help prevent, detect and manage food risk. Well, this morning here, I'm glad to tell you that we have our guests with us in the studio, and we will be discussing and looking particularly on World Food Safety Day. Well, we have Joseph Okidi, who is from the Food and Agricultural Organization. He is an agricultural officer. Joseph, good morning, and you're most welcome to the Miraya Breakfast Show.
Good morning, listeners. My name is Joseph Okidi. I work for FAO as an agriculture officer, as you just mentioned.
Yes, good to have you. Good to have you. And also we have Corwell Kwai. Corwell, who is Associate Professor, Department of Chemistry, University of Juba. Professor, you're most welcome.
Good morning, and thank you for hosting me this morning. I'm Corwell Kwai Corwell from the University of Juba, and I'm also here as Technical Advisor for South Sudan National Bureau of Standards.
That's great. Good to have you. And let's talk to Dr. Robert Bangi Wani, who is also Child and Adolescent Health and Nutrition Officer working for the World Health Organization. Dr. Robert, it's good to have you. Welcome.
Thank you, Sabit. Good morning, listeners. Mm-hmm. I'm Dr. Robert Bangi Wani. I'm the Child and Adolescent Health Officer and Nutrition, as has been mentioned by the presenter.
All right, let's talk about this day, which is the World Food Safety Day. Now, this day is celebrated on the 7th of June every year, and this is the second celebration of the World Food Safety Day. Now, just before we even go to the importance and why we're celebrating this, what is Food Safety Day? I mean, what is food safety? Let's begin with that. Any of you can pick this up, but let's begin with you, Mr. Professor.
Yeah, good morning once again. I just want to begin by saying that food is fundamental to our health and the health of the nation. However, food quality, including food safety, is a major concern facing the food industry worldwide today, not only South Sudan. Mm-hmm. And despite great advances in food safety science, industry and research, foodborne diseases continue to present as major public health problem and economic is significant. I just want to bring to the attention of all the listeners that food security is the state when all the people mm-hmm. at all time have access to physical and social access to sufficient, nutritious and foods served to meet their dietary need. But conceptually, food security is built upon four pillars, including food availability, access, utilization, and stability. Since food safety, nutrition, and food security are linked, the utilization and important of food safety in this relationship is relatively emphasized in the Republic of South Sudan. So I just want to come back to your question that consequently, in terms of food safety, mm-hmm. we just want to say food individual here in South Sudan are also facing food problem in terms of food safety. Why? Because we have food that is contaminated. Mm-hmm. And when it comes now to what is food safety, the food which is having major problem is having these numerous factors, including microbiological, chemical contaminant in food, which contribute to high level of foodborne diseases. So when you talk of food safety, you are talking of food that is completely contaminated by either microbiological, chemical, or mm-hmm. physical contaminant. You consume that food, mm-hmm. you result at the end of the day having foodborne diseases. Mm-hmm.
So this talking about the food contamination here, is it from the production or production, making, and all consumption of this food? Where exactly do we talk about food contamination here?
When you talk of food food contamination, it is you talk of food chain. Mm-hmm. And when you talk of food chain, you talk of from production, transportation, processing, until you reach to the table. Mm-hmm. At each particular point, you find that there are food safety concerns that are likely to contaminate food. Mm-hmm. At the farm, you will end up having food contaminated, mm-hmm. either chemically, by chemical contaminant, or microbiological contaminant, depending on how you handle it. Mm-hmm. While you are transporting food, let's say from Juba to Nimuli or mm-hmm. from any other part of South Sudan, while you are transporting food, you may be transporting food when you are not following all the hygienic practices, let's say HACCP in this case. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, you will have your food contaminated while you are transporting it, taking it to Konyo Konyo. mm-hmm. or maybe take it to your own house, the storage conditions could also be contaminant resulting from that. Now, the biggest point here is also the consumer. Mm-hmm. When you have this food at your table or when you bring the food to your house, you also have the responsibility to ensure that the food that you have can also be contaminated within the same compound or your house, even in the kitchen. So the whole range, from production to the table, there are points where food can be contaminated.
Great. Now let's talk about the day, sir, which is, of course, the World Food Safety Day. Now, what's the importance of this day? Though it was celebrated yesterday, how important is the food and the World Food Safety Day? Let's begin with the gentleman from the Food and Agriculture Organization, Joseph Ukidi. Why is this important?
Good morning, listeners. I think it is very important that this World Food Safety Day is a kind of a reminder to all of us who are consumers and producers and handlers that the health of the nations, the health of the world highly depends on the safety of the foods that we consume. As Professor has said, food probably introduces a lot of microorganisms that affect our health, not only mm-hmm. organism but also poisonings that really affect our health. And this eventually, when the population is not healthy, eventually the productivity of the nations gets down, whether in different sectors, whether you are in the agriculture sectors, whether you're in the health sectors, you're in the business health sector. So food is really, really an important ingredients that help us move forward the nation. So it's quite important that this day reminds us of all the necessary requirements that we need to put in place in order to make the population safe and healthy.
Yes, let's begin with that. What are the necessary precautions that we need to put in place to make food safe, so something we can consider this is safe for us all to eat? To consume.
I would like to say that, as Professor has put it, it is along the value chain of food, right from production to the final consumer. From the agricultural perspective, and where FAO probably plays a great role in terms of ensuring food security, there are a lot of things that the producers themselves need to really put into consideration. So for instance, if I take into an aspect of crop productions, mm-hmm. Right from the production aspect, where you're cultivating your crops, possibly there could be areas that are not suitable for these crops. And as the crops grow, probably they can get contaminated. I think we, as agriculturists, we also really kind to want to promote a good production, high yields, but at times you find people really get into protecting the crops from pests and diseases using chemicals. Mm-hmm. And these chemicals, if we don't use them appropriately, might end up into the food chain. When you harvest the products, we have seen probably if you go to the markets, you see a lot of tomatoes planted with some of them even fresh chemicals on them, dietin M45. And that eventually is getting into your food system and eventually it will affect your health in one way or another. If you look at the production or the post-harvest issues, you find that, for instance, groundnuts, maize, if you take, for instance, in the Equatorial region where there's a little bit of high level of rainfall in the first rain, harvesting and post-harvest handling of these crops becomes very important, because if you don't handle them, there could be development of microtoxins associated with aflatoxins, for instance, in groundnut, in maize, which is very common. And these eventually probably will lead to a poor health when consumed in large quantities, and may even lead to diseases like cancer and so forth.
All right, we'll get back to you. Let's talk to Dr. Robert Bagiwani, who is from the World Health Organization. Dr. Robert, you're the Child and Adolescent Health and Nutrition Officer. how are we supposed to know? Like, when I go to the market and buy food, how am I supposed to even know that this is safe for my consumption, this is safe for me and my family? Doctor, Joseph Okidi just mentioned something about tomatoes coming to the market, and you can see they have fresh chemicals in it sometimes. And about the tomatoes, I've witnessed this. I bought some tomatoes, and they stayed in the house for over 1 month, but they still look fresh. And I was wondering, what is happening? They used to teach us tomatoes are perishable goods. What is happening these days? So how am I supposed to know that this is actually safe for my consumption? Professor, you'll answer to that later as well when it comes to the issues of Bureau of Standards and how we know these things are good in the market. But first, Dr. Robert.
Thank you very much, William Sebit. Indeed, I think the theme of this celebration says food safety is everyone's business. Mm-hmm. And let us go to the simple issue of the tomatoes. Mm-hmm. As my colleagues had earlier said, it starts from the food chain. The person cultivating the tomatoes, is he sure that the pesticides that he is using to spray to protect the tomatoes from the pesticides, are they in quantities that are actually agreed upon? Mm-hmm. That's where you start getting the chemical contamination from the start. Then those also who transport, how do they transport the tomatoes? Also, the tomatoes can also get some form of contamination in this process. Then the sellers. We know these tomatoes these days, they say when you get them, they can stay for months. They stay. This also brings in the element of chemicals also used to preserve the food. Mm-hmm. So are they on the added value of food, mm-hmm, to preserve it? Is it within the range? And this brings also the issue of Bureau of Standards, mm-hmm, so that they will be able
to measure
whether it is. Then when it comes to us, the consumers, mm-hmm, before it comes to the consumer, the person selling, is the table clean? We have gone to our markets, we see that tomatoes are being put just besides the tarmac, mm-hmm, where they can still get contamination from the soil. And then ask those who are going to eat, do you wash our hands before we prepare it? Do you wash our hands after we come from the toilet? And do you properly wash the tomatoes very well?
All right. Yes, so let's get back to Professor Coruel Kwai here with us in the studio. And you said you're an advisor as well to the Bureau of Standards, which is good to have you here. When you look at the issues of, and I mentioned about the standards of tomatoes and all that, but we have a lot of things, of course, consumable things in our markets and in our shops and dukans. How safe are these things? Are we up to our task of ensuring that they're actually of standard, of good standard to be in these shops for our consumption?
Yeah, thank you so much for this question. And I just want to start straight up with saying that food safety, as put clearly from the title of this World Safety Day, Food Safety Day is everybody's responsibility. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to begin by talking a little bit about the responsibility of the government of South Sudan, please, like other governments, mm-hmm, in the whole world. In South Sudan, we have several agencies which share the responsibility in food safety. And these responsibilities are shared among inspectorate and regulatory agencies, and one of them is South Sudan National Bureau of Standards, mm-hmm, and Drug and Food Control Authority, and in some municipalities such as Yuba City Council and other councils. Mm-hmm. Besides, we have the national ministries like the Ministry of Agriculture and Food Security, Ministry of Livestock and Fisheries, as well as the Ministry of Health. I want to mention and want to underscore that the food safety-related activities in South Sudan are policy-based. So with that, the responsibility of government here, as I mentioned, that the government of South Sudan has recognized that food safety is one of the problems that has to be addressed. That is why the government has to institute and have to have all these institutions. Coming back now to the question of South Sudan National Bureau of Standard, mm-hmm, like in other, like all the region and in the EAC region, South Sudan National Bureau of Standards is the body that is responsible for setting standards and to ensure and impose all these standards so that what we consume to protect the consumers and to protect environment and the health of the whole public. So when it comes now to the issues to do with food safety, the standards are housed in the South Sudan National Bureau of Standards. But when it comes now to testing product, how do you ensure that the product are safe is, number one, having an inspection. Number two, for you to confirm is to having the laboratory. So what is happening, South Sudan National Bureau of Standards is doing an inspection in terms of imported food at the port of entry, especially in Nimuli. Here in Juba, they're also having a laboratory in Nimuli. So when it comes now for you to have imported food products to the country, they have to be tested. And when they are tested, and when they pass the standard, and of course we are part of the EAC, we're already EAC member, so we have the standard from East Africa community, and those standards are now available here in South Sudan National Bureau of Standards in Juba. So, and they have the laboratory. What I just want to underscore also here, when you talk of laboratory, it is very difficult for you to announce that you can test everything. There is no single laboratory that can test every single single laboratory that tests everything in food. No, it cannot happen. But there is major testing done. Of course, there are advances in science. As you remember from my opening introduction, that things, people, there's research and activities going on. So the way tomato used to be in terms of preservation and some other agricultural practice might not be the same as before. But that does not rule out whether there are safety concerns, like with the tomato that take a long time. Of course, I cannot really come and announce what is the reason, but what I do know, there are tests that are being done. Coming back to the to that point, this is where I mentioned from the beginning that there is a shared responsibility. So we need to know from other agencies such as Ministry of Agriculture and Food Security, FAO, what are the agricultural practices being practiced in order to produce the tomato that make that tomato take a long time before we test. The standard is there. The laboratory is there, but what are the practices you have to tell us?
All right. Yes, we'll come back to the rest of the things as we continue with the program. But you did mention about laboratory, and that caught my attention because sometimes things come into the country, and like just recently, the latest one was last week when they banned this drink called what, sour drink, that they banned it from the markets. People were consuming this drink. How did it enter into the country when we have a laboratory, and after that, that's when they realized and try to ban it?
This is also a very important point and very important question. What happened when you talk of food? Food is a very complex commodity. That is very, you can define it in so many different ways. But what happened in this case, you can import food, and the main important thing when you talk of HACCP is the intended use of the product. So if you are producing your product like sour, and the intended use for sour is for people to drink it as just a normal drink, is different from what it was used. So the Drug and Food Control Authority had been given information that people are using sour as a medicinal kind of thing to protect people from COVID-19. And therefore, it is not responsibility of Bureau of Standard in this case. When it becomes a medicinal thing, because something I want to mention is that Drug and Food Control Authority is responsible for medicinal food and food supplement. So if you come and you say you have your sour, which is going to protect people from coronavirus, it is not the responsibility of Bureau of Standard, because it, now people are saying it is medicinal. It is the responsibility of what? Of Drug and Food Control Authority. Yes. Drug and Food Control Authority now have to ban it, because initially your question was, how did it enter into the into the country? It entered into the country when people were to drink it as energy drink. But if it turned around here as a medicinal thing, it has to be banned.
But is it tested and confirmed that it can work as an energy drink, as a normal one, has no complication? Because if you look at the bottle of that thing, it doesn't even have the standard for, like, you know, Uganda National Bureau of Standards. It doesn't have the logo. It just seems like a locally made thing, concoction from I don't know where. But was it standard? Was it okay as it can enter to the country, people bring it normal before this corona whole controversy comes in?
That was the point that I mentioned before, that when you have the product and you have the intended purpose of that product, mm-hmm. you look at it differently. And when initially, it's not a very single product that is have to have the logo. Mm-hmm. But when you test the product, there are parameters that you are supposed to be testing. And those parameters, if it pass, it has to go. So the product, in this case, had to pass an inspection mm-hmm. For it to be used for different purposes. Yes, of course. So I am not here to say that thing are not entering into this country illegally. When you are dealing with business, it's very complicated, okay? There are so many cases where you will find some product that do not really meet any safety requirement in the market. Of course, you know what the borders that we have and how complicated the business is. You know, not the business is all. Mm-hmm. Some individual may have the intention to make money out of misery of other people.
All right. If you just join us, you're listening to the Miraya Breakfast Show with me, Sevid William, and we are discussing about the World Food Safety Day. The day was celebrated yesterday, and I'm glad to tell you that with me here in the studio, we have Joseph Okidi, who is Food and Agricultural Agricultural Officer, and we have Corwell Kwai Corwell, who is Associate Professor, Department of Chemistry, University of Juba. Also, he is a Technical Advisor for South Sudan National Bureau of Standards. And we have Dr. Robert Bagi Wani, who is a Child and Adolescent Health and Nutrition Officer working for the World Health Organization. Now, Joseph Okidi, you work for the Food and Agriculture Organization. Today, we're talking about World Food Safety Day. Now, that's a whole concern of food safety. But if I don't have food, why will I really worry if this food is safe? I mean, the whole point is I need to eat. So in a situation where in a country people really don't have food to eat, is worrying about the food safety even a thing?
I think what I would say is that you can't, much as you could see high level of food insecurity in the country, there is an estimate put nearly 6 million people mm-hmm. who are really in the IFC phase 3 and 4, which is means they're really food insecure. But of course, you can't compromise your safety and your health just because you don't have enough food in the country. I think it's quite important that with the little that we have, I think we should know that when people are food insecure, their health and immunity also goes down. And that means that you really have to take much more precautions in terms of the safety of the little food that you have, because your immunity that protects your health becomes very weak. And that's very important that we really have to emphasize the importance of of food safety. I think in regards to what FAO has been doing, I think probably I'll throw back to the issues of chemicals, use of pesticides in the country. We've been working closely with the Ministry of Agriculture and other relevant departments within the government. And of recently, we have kind of developed a legal framework for use of pesticides in the country, which I think probably is a milestone that would help in ensuring that producers know what is really required in terms of use of this. But I would say that it's also important that when we are really doing the production aspect, whether it being from the side of livestock or of crops, there are issues that probably we need to see, especially when it comes to use of chemicals. Normally, we take it as the last defense that you should deploy. Mm-hmm. There are integrated pest management practices that FAO has been promoting among producers to ensure that before they really bring in chemicals, they have explored all avenues that reduces or minimizes the impact of pests and diseases on their crops. Mm-hmm. On the side of livestock, I think what we have been doing strongly is that the health of animals is very important, because if you don't take consideration of the health of animals, it means possibly you can even get the diseases that the animal have, the zoonotic diseases. So what FAO has been doing over the last 10, 15 years is redoing a massive vaccination across the country in South Sudan, so that you reduce the incidences of diseases that might eventually enter into the food chain. Mm-hmm. And that's very important. So we are doing a bit of both vaccination and livestock treatment. But of course, we have also been advocating that for the communities that have livestock, when the animal die without knowing the cause, it's very important that you might need to avoid consumption of just animals. So it's a shared responsibility that everybody has to take it up. And I think we also really have to make sure that the community are aware of the danger or whatever they are using in the production system.
All right. Now, talking about... Okay, before you respond... Okay, please, go ahead. Respond to that.
Thank you. Can I just join in? Mm-hmm. Whether you really need to be concerned about food safety when there is actually no food. Mm-hmm. You know, for us... Food safety, the food really needs to be safe and nutritious. It's not just a matter of eating the food. Mm-hmm. And if the food is not safe, the children will not grow well, they will not be able to learn, the adults will become sick, they will not be able to work, and if they are not able to work, they are not able to produce. Mm-hmm. So it becomes a vicious circle. Mm-hmm. So the bottom line is, the food that we eat, we must make sure that it is safe and nutritious to the body. It should support the body.
All right.
Thank you.
Now, I'd like to bring into your attention, possibly with you from the Food and Agriculture Organization, you talk about when it comes to the production, and you talk about pesticides and all that. But these days, we have a lot of food that is genetically, you know, modified food, and so they can just grow well and quickly and good-looking products. In a country like South Sudan, where we have the land is literally a virgin land in most of parts of the countries, do we need fertilizers? Do we need this kind of genetically modified products? So, you know, for our consumption.
I think probably there's a lot of misconception about the GMO or the genetically modified organisms, mm-hmm. or even on the use of fertilizers. Probably if I can pick up on the fertilizers, has been used for ages, and it depends on how you have used it to really enhance your productivity. There's a bit of fear and misunderstanding from the communities and some of our leaders. Mm-hmm. Most of them, they assume that actually South Sudan is really so fertile that you can plant seed anywhere, even on a rock.
Somebody actually did mention you can plant bones in the world.
And it will germinate and grow. But I think I won't really disagree with that. But I think the most important thing is, for us as FAO, what we do is we do things in support of the government of South Sudan, especially the national ministry that really are involved in agriculture activities, whether it's Ministry of Livestock and Fisheries, as well as Ministry of Agriculture and Food Security. Mm-hmm. So it also depends on the issues related to GMO. As FAO, we have really not yet gone into advocating for that in South Sudan. It has to come from the ministry or the government itself. But of course, there are some advantages and disadvantages. So mm-hmm. people need to weigh out which side of their butter would be much more, or bread would be much better buttered.
Right.
So it is a question that needs a bit of dialogue among the different stakeholders. As FAO, we are not supposed to really like say, okay, you have to, we give you this recommendation. No, it has to be a dialogue between the different stakeholders involved in supporting agriculture production and enhancing productivity.
All right. Now, as the theme for this year's celebration is food safety, everyone's business. Now, from especially when it comes to production, to you know, the final preparation of this food and all that, to make it safe for everyone. Dr. Robert Bange, as a nutritionist expert or officer, what advice do you have for people to ensure that everybody make their food safe?
Okay, thank you. Especially, let us just start from those who are selling at that level. They need to make sure that the food that they display are kept in safe place. They are well stored in the appropriate temperature so that they don't also get rotted or contaminated. And those who are going to prepare the food, hand washing. We look at hand washing as a very simple thing, but it's a very important thing in keeping ourselves healthy and keeping our food safe. Those who prepare, they need to make sure they wash their hands, and the food needs to be cooked well, especially meat, fish, and other seafoods that you might get into the country. They must be well cooked. The vegetables, when you want to eat vegetables, which are raw or things like tomatoes, like what we have here, jirjir, you must make sure that you wash your hands before you start preparing, and then make sure that they're also well washed before eating them.
Right.
You know, food poisoning, the first problem with it first starts with something like food poisoning. Then you get immediately these normal diarrhea that we get. That's also another problem that is common. And in terms of like the Minister of Health, and which WHO supports, we always also ensure that those who work in food, actually food is inspected. There are public health officers who make sure that those who handle food are actually tested for things that may make them contaminate the food that they sell.
All right. Now, we only left with around 6 minutes, but very fast, there's a question coming from Ivan Junday, a teacher of agriculture, Diu Alam Secondary School in Ural. And he's saying, my question to our guest is that, how are you prepared to solve the hunger pandemic since agricultural knowledge have been scrapped from school? Could you like to answer that, Professor?
Thank you. And to the my colleague who asked the question, I think it is very clear from the policy of South Sudan, government of South Sudan, that agriculture is an engine of growth in this country. The only thing that we need to blame is the insecurity that is affecting people to produce. So what is important in this case, and how are we going to solve the widespread hunger, is that the first thing is, as peace whole, everybody should engage in production. And if everybody engage in agricultural production, you will find that there will be abundant food for everyone. And of course, bring it to the perspective of what we are talking of now, is that when we are going to produce, we factor in what my colleague Okidi from FAO has just said, that you also produce with food safety in mind. So when you have, you produce in Yarol, let's say in Yarol, and you want to transport your food product to Rumbek, or you want to bring it to Juba, then we who are going to consume it in Juba here will consume safe food product. That is what I need to, to answer.
Yes, because that's the time we have. I'll give each of you in less than 30 seconds each to send your final remarks and messages on this World Food Safety Day. And let's begin with you, Dr. Robert Bangi Wani, who is from the World Health Organization. What will be your final remarks or advice or message out there?
I think as we celebrate or as we mark this World Food Safety Day, let us all say that let us look at One Health, where the health of people is linked to the health of the animals and to the health of the environment.
All right. Thank you. And let's go right away to Joseph Okidi. What would be your final remarks?
I would say that to the listeners that it is a shared responsibilities, and it starts with you to be sure that whatever you're consuming is safe for you, and then you get to ensuring that when you're really supplying or you are involved in the value chain, you protect others.
All right. Professor Corwell?
Assuring food safety along the entire food chain required partnerships and education at all levels, especially consumer education. And training is essential for all of us to who are involved in different food steps in the food value chain. Finally, I want to say education is essential for informal market, informal sector. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, our people are getting food, their food from the street, and we don't want to see you eating raw chicken. Mm-hmm. And what it means, it is when you find someone selling food, you take and touching a raw chicken and giving it to you, you are eating a raw chicken. So for us to solve that problem, education is the key to all of it.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Professor Korwell Kwai. We do appreciate you coming to Mirai Studios. Thank you so much, Joseph Okidi from the Food and Agriculture Organization. And thank you, Dr. Robert Bage. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.